So you can go ahead and start recording. So today I'm going to start a series about his voice. I just felt like, again, I'm going to go into Ephesians later on, but I just really felt like the Lord wanted us to just spend some time doing the very basic. Like, it's just so important for all of us to be able to hear his voice. And I know for some of you, you know, you might hear his voice really well. And so some of this will be repetition, and for some of us, we're just starting out learning to how to hear our voice. And we're all in a wide variety of spectrum in that. But even if you're someone who can hear his voice, just hopefully this will inspire you to keep hearing his voice or help you, give you some ideas on how to go deeper in that. But it's just so basic. It's so foundational to where the Lord's taking all of us in our individual and corporate walks. Like our life is tied to his voice. And we need to know how to hear his voice. So I think a lot of people, let me just start off with this. And I have copies of this on the welcome table. But Lana Vosser is a prophetess out of Australia. Her and her husband are in Australia. And she's someone that, if you're not familiar with her, we as a lot of people in our church, you know, we get her emails and look at her posts. Amy and I are actually going through a course of hers right now. And so we feel like she's on target with things. And so I just wanted to read a little bit of a word she put out on July 18th. She said, "I have had many encounters this year where I have been hearing the Lord speaking louder than I ever have heard it or felt it, come deeper, go slow. I'm calling you to marinate in my presence. Linger with me. There is such an invitation upon us as his people right now to behold him and gaze upon his beauty more deeply than ever before. I have felt such a strong encouragement from the heart of the Lord that now is the time to press deeper into the secret place with him more than ever before. The weight of his presence and glory is increasing, and there is a call to go slow, to marinate in his presence, to linger with him, and to eliminate rush." How many would like to eliminate rush in their lives? "His glory is coming in such a way that it will cause his people to be face down as his brilliance comes crashing in like never before. It's the Ezekiel 44:4 place." In Ezekiel 44:4 in the Amplified Version, it says, "Then he brought me by the way of the north gate to the front of the house, and I looked and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face." The Lord has given me that scripture for this church multiple times. And she said, "Thick clouds of his glory will fill rooms like we have never seen before." And she goes on to say, so you can pick up if you'd like a copy of this. She goes on more into that. But I just feel, you know, with all that's going on in the world, there's a lot of voices talking. A lot of voices. And it's really important for us to be able to discern the voice of the Lord and follow the voice of the Lord wherever he's leading us. And sometimes it's outside the box or not what we're expecting. But we need to be in tune with his voice so that when he tells us to go in a certain direction, even though natural wisdom may not say that's the way to go, that we are confident enough in his voice that we can follow it. And if we haven't invested time with him, then it's more difficult for us to hear. So I think this is a common frustration from people. They say they don't know how to hear his voice. I think all of us have gone through seasons too. I think a lot of times it's so much easier to hear his voice for somebody else, you know, instead of hearing it for ourselves is always a little bit more of a challenge. But the thing is, you know, and I grew up in a denominational church, and so the belief system that I kind of thought was that's what the pastor did. Like, the pastor heard God and read the Bible and then just told us what he said. I didn't realize that I could actually have a relationship with God and that he would talk to me and I could hear his voice and he would listen to me. I mean, we pray, right? We pray, but I don't know if we're always, and we're thinking maybe God's way up there listening, and our perceptions of God kind of get in the way too, as the way we perceive him. But when we talk, it's not for special or anointed people, right? John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice." If you're born again, you're a child of God, you hear his voice. I know them, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Now, I've heard it said that, you know, it doesn't say my lambs hear my voice. And that's true. But, you know, when we're lambs, when we're little baby Christians, it's hard for us maybe to hear his voice. But as lambs, if we're in the sheepfold and the sheep are following the shepherd, we'll learn how to hear his voice, right? So, but we're wired to hear his voice. Now, notice here it says that in a stranger's voice, they will not follow. It doesn't say a stranger's voice, they will not hear. Okay? So you need to be, we need to be able to discern the voice of the shepherd versus the voice of the stranger, because we will hear both voices, but we have to have the discernment to know how to follow the shepherd in spite of what the enemy's saying. So the other thing I want to say is, you know, hearing his voice, I think I've heard the Lord's voice audibly like once. So I use the term hearing to really, really cast a wide net over perceiving his voice, right? Being sensitive to what he may be communicating to us. And he can communicate to us in many, many ways. And I'll get into that as we go into this. But it's not, so for me, it can be just a thought that goes through your head that you know you didn't think it, right? Right? So you just all of a sudden you may have a question on your heart, and then you hear, you have a thought come into your head, or a sense in your heart, or an intuition. So hearing his voice, the word hearing is a very broad term when we use that word hearing, okay? And people are like, well, I don't hear his voice. And a lot of times they're thinking, well, I'm not hearing an audible voice in my ear. Well, most of us don't hear that. When we say we're hearing God, we're just saying our wires are up and we're perceiving what he's saying in some form. Okay, so just to get that mindset out of our way of thinking. He's always speaking to us. One time Randy and I were traveling to a ministry conference, and we stopped at this fast food place, and I walked in the door, and I felt the Lord say to me, Melissa, I have a word for every person in here. You know, I mean, because every person's on his heart. And he was just saying to me, like, if we wanted to, we could have, you know, dropped our agenda and walked around and spoken to every person, hearing what the Lord is saying for that person. Because everybody's on his heart. And so part of the reason why we want to hear God is not just for ourselves, but to accurately represent him to the world and be able to communicate to people what God is saying. Because not everybody's hearing him, obviously. And so we are here as one of his mouthpiece here on this earth. So we need to tune into him, and most importantly, his heart. Most importantly, his heart, because you can't communicate with him with other people accurately if we don't know the heart of God. So I like to think of it as like an AM station and an FM station, right? So like when you're, if you don't know, if you haven't been raised in a family that, or been exposed to a church family that's teaching you can hear God's voice, like we're all kind of tuned into AM. Right? Well, AM would be like the natural world, but even Jesus said, right, get behind me, Satan, for you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. So Jesus equated being carnal with being demonic. So there's the AM station that kind of the world is tuned into that isn't tuned into God, and then God's the FM station. Now, if you know, like right now we're sitting in this room and people have talked about, like there's airwaves, sound waves, everything going all through this room. Like if I turned on a FM radio station right now, it would receive that FM signal. So the signal's in the room, it's speaking, but it's whether or not you're tuned into that station, that signal. And so it's the same thing with God. Like he's always communicating, but have we turned our dial, have we tuned ourselves in to be tuned into what he's saying, what he's communicating at the time? Because he's always speaking. He's always communicating to us. So now, you know, why do we want to hear him? Well, let's go to John 17:3, because John 17:3, Jesus, before he goes to the cross, he says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you," speaking to God, "the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So hearing God, communicating God, having relationship with God was so important to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit that Jesus was willing to come and die so that you can hear his voice. So that you can, because hearing is, you know, we use the term hear his voice, but what we're really talking about is developing a relationship. And that was so important to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that they, God, Jesus, was willing to come into human form, become vulnerable to mankind, right? Live underneath our rule, authority, right? To be down in this realm, just for the purpose of being able to reestablish us into a relationship, with the relationship we lost at the fall, to be able to establish us into a relationship with God so that we can have this union and communion with him that we were always meant to have, to restore that. So that was so important that God was willing to die for that. Now, tied to him, remember that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He designed you. You were a thought in his imagination, right? And you have giftings and abilities and talents and destiny and purpose and all that. And you were his and will always be his before you're ever anybody else's. You were his before you were a daughter or a son. You were his before you were a sibling. You were his before you were a friend to anybody. You were his before you were a parent. You were his before you were a grandparent. You were his before you were an employee. Like, all those roles that you've played on this earth will pass away. But your relationship with him will never pass away. Never. Because you were his before. And you're his now. And you'll be his after. So wouldn't it be worth our time to invest in coming to know the one who wired you, who made you, who put giftings and abilities to you, who knew you before the world tried to shape you and form you into whatever it tried to shape you and form you into? Wouldn't it be worth knowing that person, right? The person who saw you as pure and holy and righteous and so wanted to restore you back to pure, holy, and righteous, that was willing to come and die and pay for that to reestablish you back to who you were created to be. That's the person we're talking about coming to know. And he felt it was so important because he could not imagine eternity without you. That's what it is. Like, here's eternity, and you were supposed to be in eternity, and because of the fall, you were down here. And he could not imagine this going on forever and you not being there. So he came and died so that you can be with him. That's how important, and that's the beauty of what this is what he's inviting us into. And so many people think, you know, we'll see this later on, that you know, I'm saved so that one day I can get to know God. No, he wants you. I mean, Jesus said that they may know God, not know God after they die and go to heaven, that they may know God and Jesus Christ, his son, right? That now is the day. This is what he wants now. And so we're invited into this. We're invited into this relationship that he's spread a table before us, and he's inviting us to come sit at the table, to come to know him, to hear his voice, and to build this relationship with him, right? Amen? Amen. Remember that we're a spirit, like Giselle had taught, right? We're a spirit, and he's a spirit, and so this communication that we have, this relationship, is through the spirit, right? That's how he communicates with us. So, Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, 'Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.'" With loving kindness, he draws us into this relationship with him. With loving kindness. Hebrews 11:6. Now, for us to walk into this relationship, I mean, it seems pretty foundational, but Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So, I mean, it's pretty foundational, but if you're going to come into this relationship with God, you need to believe that he is, right? And that he's a rewarder, like that he really wants you to come into this relationship. A lot of times people look at this, I've heard people, you know, talk about rewarder, and I think we have this mindset of, you know, God's, yeah, well, he's calling, first of all, you know, you were just a sinner, and he was God, so he obviously had to come and save you, but it was kind of with disgust, people have that mindset, and that God's kind of sitting there, and he's got this bar of this, and he'll reward you, like he'll give you some nuggets or pellets if you hit the bar, right? And then he's going to release some, he'll bless you if you reach this bar. That's not what this is saying. The picture the Lord gave me for this scripture is, it's just like, you know, when you have the little kids that are standing on the edge of a pool, And you know, they've got the little safety vest on, and like the parent is standing there like with their arms open, like, come on, you can jump. And you know, you see the child has got this little trepidation, like, are they really going to catch me? And this is a really big pool, and I don't know what I'm going to do, right? But they just stand there, and finally, like, you coach them, and they jump into the pool. Like, that's our Father, right? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Like, he's a rewarder standing in the deep ocean of living by faith. And he's standing there, and he's put a life vest on us, right? But it's like even Jesus with Peter, right? When Peter started to sink, Jesus wasn't like, oh boy, dude, you've lost your faith, you're gone. No, he brought him back in the boat, right? He pulled him out. So we got our life vest on, but he's there, and he's coaxing us, he's encouraging us, and he's so excited when we have that time, that opportunity to jump, that we finally say, yes, I'm going to jump. Like, that's him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Like, if we're sincere and we're wanting to jump off, he's just so excited for every little step we can take. Every little step we can take. He's your main encourager. He's your exhorter. He's the one who's pushing you on. So he invites us into this, but we need to believe that he is, and that he's embracing us and encouraging us to come into this relationship with him. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask, just as Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks, who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. He doesn't say to the special anointed one. He doesn't say just to the pastor or to the person who's done the greatest works. He says, everyone who does this will see. If you seek, you will find. This word seek is also another word for worship. And the word find means to be open, to be open to you. It'll be opened up. Like if you seek in scripture for things, he's going to show things to you. He's going to open things up to you. He's not hiding things from us, right? He wants us to know these things. John 6:45, Jesus said, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So if you've come to Jesus, that means you have heard and learned from the Father. Because we didn't get here on our own wisdom. Even if you're in this church and you feel like this is your church home, it's not your great wisdom, not my great wisdom. It's you heard and you learned from the Father. So a lot of times I think people think they are not hearing God, but we don't realize that we are hearing him. Again, I use that word hearing as a really broad term. But you've been led by God to Jesus. You didn't get there because you were really wise and smart and figured salvation out. No, God, you heard and learned from God, and he's the one who led you. You were seeking because you found. I say that to say that a lot of times we think that we had like this life of no communication with God, and then all of a sudden, but no, like that your path has been led, and I mean, I know, like we get off track a lot of times, and he keeps rerouting. So I'm not saying it was a perfect straight line, right? It's all of us, it was a lot of rerouting, but we eventually got there, right? We eventually got to where we were meant to go, and it wasn't our great wisdom. It's because God was leading us and guided. We had heard, we were seeking, and we found, right? And he was guiding and leading us in that. And he's so good, and he's so patient. He's so patient. You know, I heard a story once about Kenneth Copeland. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he actually, the Lord spoke to him one day and told, because he was believing for an airplane. And the Lord told him that he had an airplane for him, and the Lord gave him the serial number of the airplane. And the man called and said to him, yeah, I've got an airplane for it. And so Kenneth Copeland was like, well, what's the serial number? And it was the right serial number. Like, I want to hear him that well. I am not there by any stretch of the imagination. But that's how well you can hear God. That's amazing. I mean, that's got letters and alphabet and numbers in it. I mean, how do you get that? But that's how well we can hear God. And that's how detailed God is. Like, he knew which plane, by which serial. It was like, any plane? No, it's this plane you're going to get. That's how detailed God can be. That's just amazing to me. But so many people, we're hearing him, and we don't realize it. Matthew 17:5 says, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." That this is the Mount of Transfiguration. And that, you know, so God can say anything to, you know, I'm sure Peter, James, and John are the three disciples, right? Moses and Elijah shows up. Jesus is there. He opens his earth suit. There's light pouring out. And they're there. And God can say anything to them. So what does he say to them? "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." So he puts a stamp of approval. He's like, this is who you're seeing. Jesus has been telling you this all along, but now I, God, am telling you, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And then his next instructions are, hear him. Not bow to him, hear him. And this word hear, it doesn't mean just physical hearing. It means hearing and taking in the message, right? And it's the same word that's used in talking about the relationship between God and Jesus, the Father and Jesus. So it's intimacy. So it's a hearing physically, but it's an actual receiving of the message and an intimate relationship. So it's not, again, it's not just a physical hearing, but that's what he told the disciples. In John 16:13, Jesus said, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So even the Holy Spirit is hearing Jesus and communicating to us, right? So even, and that's the same word here, the hearing that is receiving the message, and it's an intimate relationship. Now, I want to talk about the religious, excuse me, because, you know, some people will represent that they know God or have a relationship with God because they know Scripture. And of course, you know, this is the this is where we start in learning how to hear God. This is where it all starts, okay? And then it builds from this, but this is God has got to be the cornerstone of it. But many people think if you just memorize Scripture and can quote Scripture, it means you're hearing God. Well, not necessarily, because even when you look at Jesus with the religious elite, right? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, and the scribes, right? The religious elite, when they were with Jesus, in John 5:37, Jesus says to them, "The Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form." And that's the same word, the same root word here. So here we have people who, the young men in the Jewish tradition, like they had to memorize the first five books of the Torah. So they have the Scripture memorized. Of course, they know the prophets, the minor prophets, the major prophets, Isaiah, all that. They know all that Scripture. And yet Jesus is saying to them that they have never heard God's voice. See, this is the only book you can read wherever, whenever you read it, the author is always present. But you can read it and not hear him. And that's what they had, the Scripture, and the Holy Spirit was there, but they weren't tuned into him. They weren't really communicating. They hadn't developed a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And when it says you've neither seen his form, this word means to mentally perceive or to discern clearly. So they in other words, they didn't know the author. They knew the book, but they didn't know the author. And that's Jesus goes on here, right? John 5:38, he says, "But you do, listen to this, you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe." Now, we've talked about this word abiding, right? It means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. So here, they've memorized all this Scripture, but yet they don't have it, they're not in relationship with it. They don't have it abiding in them. It's just head knowledge. So they had never developed a relationship. And because he said, if you had developed a relationship with the author of this Scripture, you would know who's standing in front of you. You would know who I am. And so that's so important. He says John 5:39, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." In other words, you search these Scriptures and you have it all memorized and you're doing all the laws, excuse me, and you're doing everything perfectly, and you think because of that, you're going to get to heaven one day. You're guaranteed eternal life because you're doing everything perfectly. But no, these are testifying to you that it's not by your righteousness that you get entry to here. It's by bowing to me and receiving the righteousness that I impart, that's how you're going to get to heaven. And yet he's standing right there in front of them and they don't recognize him. They don't see him. They don't know. And they're still depending upon their own works. He says, John 5:40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. You're not willing to come to me. Now, a perfect example of this is the Apostle Paul. Right? Paul, we've talked about that. Like, Paul was the head guy. He was the leading the way. He was an excellent student, the top of his class, right? He's underneath Gamaliel and he's charging the way and he's going to be the next whatever in the Jewish tradition, right? He's got all the letters and dots next to his name and all of that. And yet he didn't recognize Jesus to the point that he thought he was following the scripture and by going out and killing Christians. That's how deceived he was. But he met Jesus. He met Jesus. He heard his voice. And it changed everything. It changed everything. So the same scriptures, plus the presence of God, plus Jesus, plus the encounter, right, is what changed everything. And that's like even with our church, right? What is our byline? Encounter Christ, know Christ, live Christ. People try to live Christ without encountering him and knowing him. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have to know him. You have to encounter him. And not the encounter you had 10 years ago. The encounter hopefully you had while we were worshiping him. Right? It's that living relationship. It's hearing him. It's knowing him. It's knowing the way his moves, his heart, all of those things is what transforms us so that we can live him. Amen. We can't do that separate. We can't do it separate. So Paul encountered Jesus and it changed everything. Even if we look at Romans 10:17, which says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by reading. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing is a relationship. So it's being able to sit with the scripture, and I'll get into this more of this next week when I talk about this, but it's getting into the scripture and taking the time to read it, say it out loud, but listen while you're reading. It's listening. It's being aware of what's the scripture saying. It's alive. This book is alive, right? And so it's being in that place to be able to receive and perceive it, because it's all about relationship. You know, Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. And so that's what we have the privilege of. And again, it's not that God's withholding it, hiding it, keeping it away from us. No, he's inviting us in. Like, he wants to reveal this to you. He wants to reveal scripture to you. He wants to reveal his heart to you. He wants all of that. And so he's inviting us into that, right? So that he can expose that. Now, I want to talk about, I'll get into more like what to do with the word as far as studying. But today I just wanted to start out with some just really basic things. First of all, I just wanted to start off with why do this, right? What is it worth? And I try to watch my words, and because we're not spending time with Jesus, because spending time, when you spend, you're depleted. We're investing time with Jesus, because when you invest, you grow, hopefully, unless you're in the stock market. But this is a good investment. This is a good investment. It always increases, right? So we don't spend time with Jesus. We invest time with Jesus. And so it's really looking at this as I'm setting this aside to invest in this relationship. So the first thing is, first of all, the value. Hopefully I've established for you that there's value in this, that you're called to this, that there's treasures here waiting for you, and it's worth this. But then the next piece of it is, how do I do this? Well, it's like anything else, you have to set aside time for it. You have to set aside time for it. And so it's, and I know we're all at different places in this, but it's deciding that, you know what, I want to develop this relationship with the Lord. this is worth something to me. I want to find out the one who authored me. I want to know the one who knows who I am and still loves me, right? He still loves me. And he knows what he designed me for. He knows what I was created to be. Like, I want to find out what this person has to say. And so deciding that, like anything else that takes value in our life, where am I going to carve out the time to be able to invest in this relationship? And I mean, for me, it's first thing in the morning, before anything else starts, is I invest time with the Lord. But it's for each person, it's finding out where is that time that I'm going to set aside that's just for him, that's just my time with him. The other thing I would say is to have a place. It's good to have a place because, at least for me, I think it's good to have like either a corner of a room where you have a chair, because it kind of tells your senses, like when we sit here, we invest time with the Lord. This is what we do in this chair. This is what we do in this room. I've always had, or pretty much always had, a room that was my room. It could have been a spare bedroom, you know, that I use for my room with Jesus. And so obviously if we had guests, I didn't have that room, but most of the time you don't have guests, well, unless they move in permanently, but you have that place. But it's just good to have a place where you go and you can have like the books that you're reading or the Bible that you're reading or whatever. Those resources are there at that place for you to invest that time. I would do things too, like I would invest my time with the Lord in the morning, but then even when I went to work during my lunch hour, I would get in my car and drive to a local neighborhood, and I would sit in my car and eat my lunch, and I would either read the Word or read a book or listen to teachings, and then I would get out of my car and go for a walk, right? And that was my hour kind of away from the office, but I set it aside as a time that I was investing in the Lord. Now, evenings aren't great for me. I'm tired, I go to bed. But some people really like to put evenings, set evening time or time before they go to bed to invest in the Lord. But the big thing is that it's really important to have some type of schedule. Anything in your life that's important, you always make time for. You always make time for. And so it's the same thing. If this is important to us, then it's setting aside some time. I know me, and if I don't have a schedule, if I don't put something on a schedule, it just will never get done because something else will always come up. So just kind of saying to yourself, oh, well, I'm going to spend 30 minutes with the Lord today, but I'm not going to set it aside as a particular schedule, most likely it'll never happen because something else will always come up. You know. And the other thing, too, is Isaiah 46:10. What do you do? Well, the first thing is you're going to do is be still and know that I am God. And being still is really hard. I know years ago when I was going through a really difficult time in my life, a friend of mine had suggested that I go for counseling. And so which was a good idea. I went for some counseling. And in my first session, I remember the woman said to me, I want you to just sit still for like 20 minutes every day. And I had none of this in my life. And so I would sit down in a chair and I'd have to turn the timer like around because I was just waiting for the 20 minutes. But I mean, just sitting still for 20 minutes was like, oh my gosh, this is horrendous. Like, how am I going to do this? But it was the beginning of a journey, right? Of like, we are so, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, we are so plugged into activity, activity, activity. What's going on? TV, TV, radio, all this stuff coming at us that we are on sensory overload. And what God wants you just to do is to, like, his voice is quiet. He whispers. But you need to get quiet enough to be able to get all the senses to kind of calm down to the point that you can even just begin to be on a journey with him, you know? So it's setting the time aside. And you need to, let me say, be still and know. So be still means to relax, sink, withdraw, to let go, and to be quiet. And the word to know means to learn, distinguish, to know by experience, perceive, and see. So he's saying, so I want you to come to this place of being quiet, relaxing, right? And withdrawing from the world so that you can distinguish, know, or experience, perceive, and see me. And know that I am God, that I'm greater in all this. But if we don't pull away, if we don't set that time aside, we'll just live our life completely caught up in circumstances. And there, it's overwhelming. So it's just deciding, you know what? I'm going to take my life and I'm going to set some time apart. I'm going to set a room aside. It's interesting, when Amy and Logan first came to live with us, we have three bedrooms in our house. My husband and I have that master bedroom, and then there's two spare bedrooms. And so one bedroom was for guests, guest room, and it had like Randy's kind of desk stuff in it. And then there was another room that was kind of my Jesus room, and it had like office stuff and things and like that in it. So when they came to stay with us, originally it was temporary, and so Amy and Logan just were in Randy's room with the trundle bed, and that's what they were staying there until they found their place. Well, then it became obvious that they were going to stay with us permanently, and so Logan needed my room. I cried. I did. I just stood there, and I'm like, okay, so I knew this was the right thing to do, and Amy's standing in front of me, and I just started crying, and I'm like, I'm going to do this, and I really want to do this. Don't take this personal, but I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm just, and I went in the room, and I'm like, Lord, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. I need a place with you. So literally, Randy and I have this very small walk-in closet. I'm telling you. And I took my little wicker rocking chair, and I shoved clothes around, and I tucked that thing in the corner of it with a little folding table. And it was the kind of thing where you had to go in, close the door, rearrange things, and sit down. Then you pray you didn't have to go to the bathroom. You had to get up and shift everything around. But it was like, I am going to have my place along with Jesus. Like, that's just non-negotiable. And so I sat in that little room. I mean, I did messages from that room. I bring my little computer in, and there's clothes all around me and stuff. But I was going to have my gym with Jesus. Now, I mean, praise God, we took a little patio off of our bedroom and we made a room. And that's now, like, I've got a room now. I've got a room. And everybody says it is the best room in the house. I just want you to know. But I mean, I probably was in that closet for at least 9 months. I mean, I just would, that's where I would go, because why? You know, and the thing is this starts out as a discipline. Like at first, when you first sit down, there's nothing in you that wants to be there. I mean, other than your spirit is all excited, but your flesh is going, we've got stuff to do. I don't want to sit here quiet. This is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. The enemy's telling you all the things you need to do. So you need to understand that when you first sit down to do this, it's probably not going to be like all cherry muffins and rose buds, you know? It's going to be challenging. <That's> But the thing is discipline turns into desire. And what happens is when you set the time aside and you really diligently just keep at it, right? Keep at it. Eventually you're like I am, where you're like crying if someone says you can't have your time with the Lord or you lose your room, because it becomes, you see the benefits of it and it's so beautiful. You don't know how you ever lived without it. Right? And so it starts out, again, if you're just starting this out, you need to understand it's not necessarily going to be pleasant. And even with now, like there's days when I sit with the Lord and the mind just keeps churning and I'm like, really? Just shut up. So, I mean, you know, so it's not like it's perfect rosebuds every time. It's still a discipline that you commit yourself to, and you know that there is progress. There is progress. It's a work of faith. It's a work of faith. Amen. Amen. So the other thing, just to talk about, I'm from a practical standpoint, and everybody say, I love my pastor, is distractions, right? So it's really deciding, too, when you're going to set this time aside, first of all, while you're in there, like, having your phone is not helpful. When you set time aside with the Lord, like turning your phone off, muting it, something like that. Like, when you go in to invest this time, like really getting rid of distractions so you really can focus on him. So, but the other thing too is just in setting aside the time, you know, I've heard people say that if you look at somebody's checkbook, now it's their credit card receipt, but you can tell what their priorities are. But the same thing is if you look at your day and your hours, it speaks volumes about what your priorities are. And so it's also looking at our lives. And if I can, you know, invest 2 hours on Facebook, but I say I don't have enough time to spend 30 minutes with the Lord, like that speaks volumes about, like I'm not, I'm, that speaks volumes at what I really value. I can remember years ago, we were away with Amy and Logan, and I was taking care of him at a friend's house, and he was young, and finally I was like, I need to do something to entertain this child, so I put Candy Crush on my phone. And so we're playing Candy Crush together, right? Well, I kept Candy Crush on my phone. And then, like one day, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just put 45 minutes into Candy Crush. You don't have that much power over me. I took that darn thing off my phone. So, I mean, because it wasted 45 minutes of my life. I'm sorry, getting to the next level just isn't that important. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have to be careful. Like, our lives, every hour counts. And I promise, at the end of your life, you're not going to sit there and say, I wish I spent more time on Candy Crush. You know, I wish I just had gotten to the next level. Like, we're really taking a look at our lives and saying, where am I investing my time? And is what I'm investing in really reflective of my values? If I really want to live a life in alignment with the Lord, and I'm not, please understand, I am not doing this from a religious standpoint. I don't want that. I'm not putting rules out there or anything like that. I don't want anyone to feel condemned or anything. I mean, God wants us to have fun. And God wants us to have fun. He wants us to do enjoyable things. I'm just saying that if we say Jesus is important and that he's our Lord of our life and we want to invest in this relationship, and yet there's no time for that, but there's time for all these other things, then we're not walking our talk, okay? And so it's just really, and one of the things I was going to say, like in this next week, I think all of us just take some time to really look at, where am I investing my time? Where, and again, maybe it's you're investing a lot of time over here and not spending enough time with your family. Okay, so it doesn't have to be just with the Lord. Like, just all of us kind of do an overhaul on our schedules to say, am I investing the time in what I really believe is important? A really great way to do that is just think about the end of your life. And if at the end of your life, if you're looking back, what would you like to be able to say about how you lived? What would you like people to say about what they observed in the way you lived? That's a really good way of getting really clear about what your priorities are. And if I say these things are important, if I want at the end of my life to say, I really invested in my family, I invested in my time with the Lord, I invested in people, whatever it might be, and okay, those are my values, this is what's important to me, am I living that out every day? Because it's not going to happen unless you're intentional, it's not going to happen. And we talked about this all the time. Like, life with the Lord, Christianity doesn't just happen to you. Like, living victorious in the Lord doesn't just happen. It's really being committed to that. And so it's being willing to look at, like, how much time do I spend on the internet? How much time do I spend in games? How much time do I spend on social media and TV and hobbies and sports? You know, I mean, even for Randy and I, we used to run a homeless ministry in addition to the church. And we had to, as much as homeless ministry is a really good thing, it was taking a lot of our time, but there really wasn't much fruit. And, you know, there's only so many, I've learned this, there's only so many hours a day, there's only so many days in the week, there's only so much you can accomplish. And so really getting really clear, so, I mean, we closed that ministry down because we realized we couldn't do more than one ministry. We had to keep focus. And the church was where there was fruit. And so that's why we decided to just pursue the church and let that go. So even ministry, even serving in ministry can become a huge distraction. Like, if you're here serving in the church, but you're telling us you have no time to invest with the Lord, then you need to not serve. Because your relationship with Him is the most important thing. Right? So we have to live in accordance with our priorities and our goals and our values, not just when it comes to our life relationship with the Lord, but also when it comes to our family and things like that that are really important to us. We need to invest in relationships that are life-giving. You can be in a relationship that's dragging you down, that's draining you, right? You can be investing, and that's part of like what happened with the homeless, is that you saw yourself investing a lot, and I'm not characterizing all homeless by any means, but there were some people that we would pour into, but they weren't willing to do anything for themselves. And you can't be more invested in somebody else's life than they are. And so even if you have a relationship with someone and you see that it's draining you and it's not life-giving, unless the Lord tells you to stay in that, you need to evaluate, is this something that I should be invested in? Because they can be distractions as well. Is this person, you know, a great example is like you're playing a chess game. Like you make a move, but they have to make the next move. And if they're not willing to make another move, then you don't make another move. Right? It's because they have to be invested as well. So even relationships can be a distraction. Good things can be not necessarily a God thing. It's really asking if it's a God thing that he wants you to invest in. All of these things, it's about prioritizing our lives, living in accordance with our values, going to the Lord and asking him. You know, I went to the Lord and said to him, listen, when I first came to the Lord and you know, we had been involved in New Age and all that other stuff. And when I first came to him, I was just like, listen, here's my hand. Here's my life. You're the only thing that can't be taken out of there. You have permission to remove everything else and add anything else. Like, there's nothing in my life that I'm going to hold on to. You have permission to totally take anything out that you want to. And it's really standing before him with our life and saying, you have permission to tell me, I don't want you to do this anymore. I don't want you to do that. I want to add this, but take this away. Like you prioritize these things for me, Jesus, because I don't want to do it. You know, I want to do what you want me to do. And again, I don't want it to be a religious thing. Like we don't watch TV at our house. I mean, we do have Amazon, so we do rent movies, and we do watch the Waltons. I like the Waltons. But there's no commercials, right? We don't watch TV because, you know, you can invest all this time with the Lord, learning the Word and standing in the Word and the truth of the Word, and you can undo all of that in a 30-minute TV show. Just the commercials will remove your salvation. Not really, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, just the commercials coming at you. By the end of the show, you feel like you should be on 4 different medications and you should be, I mean, you know, so it's part of it stewarding your heart, right? You're sowing the word of God. You want to know God and you're sowing that into your heart. And then the world pulls all that out. It's going to anyway, but you can guard how much of the world gets into your house. You know, I think to myself, like, look, let's look at the show The Simpsons, okay? Like, if you wouldn't invite those people into your home to be friends with your family, why in the world would you take a half-hour TV show and let them come into your home? It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. So it's guarding your children's hearts, guarding your hearts. What are you going to allow to be sown into your life, right? So it's us being aware. And again, I'm not saying in a religious way. I'm saying it from a standpoint of he's valuable to me, the word is valuable to me, and I want to live in accordance with my values, right? Again, not to earn anything from God, not to get anything from God, and not that he's mad at you if you have the Simpsons on. He doesn't. That's up to you, but is it really in line with my values? Is it really in line with what I want to do with my life? And I promise that as you get rid of distractions, you won't miss them. You won't miss them. And we don't realize how much those things draw on us. And I'll end with this. You know, I try to go away. Randy and I both try to individually go on a retreat by ourselves. And every year, I didn't get to do one this year just because of circumstances, but the year before I went away for 2 weeks by myself, and just me and the Lord, and the year before I went away for a week by myself. And the time I went away for a week, I was up in a retreat center, Avila Retreat Center, in fact, and just had a cabin that I was in, and I just brought my Bible, a couple of Bibles, and maybe one book, but I really wanted to just be with the Lord and just focus on the Word. And so I was there for a week, they had a small dining hall that I went to for meals, but primarily I was just in my room, I was praying, I was meditating, sleeping, reading the word, and going for walks. And by the end of that time, it was time to go home, and I'm driving home, and you just realize that, like, you're in a different state of mind. Like I'm driving the car, but, like, I'm, like, barely in the car. Do you know what? I don't know if I can say, like, you're so, like, you have become so aware of him, like, it was hard to, like, be on the earth. So I'm driving home, and I get home, and Amy and I at the time were going to the gym every day, so we decided to go to the gym, and I walk into the gym, and of course there's, like, you know, what, 20 televisions on there and the treadmills. So we get on the treadmill, and I literally had to keep my head down because the barrage of stuff was so sensory overload that it, like, hurt to have it coming at me. And I say that to say that we don't realize how desensitized we get to his spirit because we're so plugged into what's going on in the world. And it was painful. I don't know how to say it, not physically painful, but, like, spiritually painful to have all that stuff coming at me. And yet we go through that every day, like, we have that stuff coming at us, and we don't realize how much it's pushing on us, how much it's desensitizing us to the spirit. And again, we're not supposed to be monks in a forest or anything. I'm just saying that it's important for us to develop a sensitiveness to him, and it's difficult to do that if we're plugged into the world, if we're really plugged into the world. The other thing I would say is the other benefit of really getting quiet with the Lord is you'll finally hear your voice. That's what I found, is that when you get quiet with the Lord, you finally get to the place where you really hear your own heart. The heart, you know, your own spirit, the one that's so in love with Jesus, the one that is bold for him, the one that just can't keep his eyes off of Jesus, like the one that knows what you were designed for, the one that knows what you were called for, like all of that's inside of you. It's in there. But if you don't get quiet, you'll never hear his voice and you'll never hear your own. And that would be really sad, to live a life so pulled away and so molded by what the world has told you you are that you never come to hear your own heart. And that's the other benefit of really getting quiet and investing time with him. Because he knows who you are, and he wants to bring you to that place where you can hear his voice, but also you can hear your own. Amen? Amen. 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 That's the secret place. That's the Song of Solomon. That's the journey. Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence here. Lord, I just speak that this week for all of us, we'll just put everything on our hands before you, Lord. And we just say, Lord, show us what things you want us to keep, what things you want us to let go of. Lord, we just commit ourselves to having a deeper relationship with you. And Lord, please guide us and lead us in that process. Lord, it's new to some of us, or some of us were growing in it. But Lord, we want to be hearers of your voice, because our lives are tied to your voice. So help us, Lord, lead us in this. And we just give everything to you in Jesus' name. Amen.